What do you get by combining abandoned property, churches, and nonprofits focused on city beautification? How about tomatoes, watermelons, and green peppers? David Forso is president of Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, a nonprofit that provides funds and volunteers for urban farm projects.
At this point, what we're finding in Indianapolis is that 80% of the motivation right now for vegetable gardening is about getting food on the table for people in the immediate surroundings of those gardens. That to me speaks about economic need and the desire to get healthy, nutritious food on the plates immediately around those gardens.
Unlike the cropland outside of cities, which consists mostly of corn and soybeans in a commercial enterprise, urban farming is more about community enhancement, alleviating hunger, and teaching lifelong skills. But the trend isn't that new. Forsell says Indianapolis has a great tradition of urban farming going back 30 to 40 years, but it's only now that the many groups involved are starting to collaborate. Though it's a rough estimate, about 100 organizations from small community groups to large churches are considering a formal coalition to pool resources and look for grants. In September and October, about 20 of those groups were at meetings to discuss organization. Representing one group is Esther Bacall, who founded the Felga Haywood Center near Sheldon and 16th Street in Indianapolis. The center, which in Bacall's native Ethiopian means looking for direction to life, grows vegetables and fruits for neighborhood youth, many of whom cultivate the garden that sits a few hundred yards from a busy freeway.
So green beans, they just kind of dwindling down, but they're still, you know,
Could they be eaten? Could I eat one right now?
Yes, you can eat one. Oh, they're good.
My mom would be so proud to know that I'm eating green beans. I didn't eat them growing up.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you need to tell them. They're good.
It's sweeter than I thought it would be.
Since 2004, with the help of Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, Bacall has grown the center and its garden from the pits of overgrown weeds and trashed property. In 2007, she took early retirement from Eli Lilly and focused full-time on the center, which didn't have indoor plumbing until this year. Though it has until recently been primitive, neighborhood youth have flocked to food growing and scientific programs the center offers. Over 300 kids participated this summer, up from 10 6 years ago.
One of the things the children will tell others is that when the new ones come, they say, "You don't get cookies or chips in here." You know, they say the snack is different, and then they know it. So they warn the newcomers.
Youth who come through the garden certainly won't find junk food or anything else with chemicals. Everything from okra to strawberries to watermelon is organic.
This is kids' garden, so when they come here, we don't put any chemical. They need to be able to pick and eat. So they try right here on the spot. And also it teaches them, like, okay, we don't want any chemical. That means we need to weed all the time. We need to pick. So that's learning. Like, we have to put this to scare the birds.
What is it? So this is to scare the birds?
To scare the birds and other animals. Like, it hits. And the wind gets it. When it does that, then the birds jump and the rabbits go away. Yeah?
Does it scare humans too?
It works. Well, for a while, I keep walking out thinking, who's here?
More than the center's success in a few years or the ability to maintain without indoor plumbing, perhaps most surprising is how this chemist-turned-urban gardening educator has evolved herself. When she started, she admits she had a vision, not the technical skills or even rudimentary knowledge of how to maintain a large garden. But consider her name in Ethiopia literally means growing, and that success starts to make sense. I'm Scott Leadingham in Indianapolis.